This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 13 through to the end of the chapter. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be able to be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. After we sing our next song, Ricky's going to bring the word to us, but I'll pray for Ricky now, and then it'll go a little bit more smoothly. So, Lord, we pray for Ricky this morning. Lord, we thank you that he's willing to come and bring your word to us. Lord, I just pray that you just be with him now. Just fill him with your spirit. If there's anything he needs to change or whatever, that, Lord, he brings your word to us this morning, the one you want us to hear. So thank you for him. Amen.
So today we're going to start a mission. It's a small initiative, and all I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to get a message out to the world, okay? Entire global population, and I want you to change the world. Good news is there's no deadline. I'll just pop back when it's all done, if that's all right. So we're going to start this off, and Andy's going to help me here, and you're going to help, because the first thing we've got to do, of course, to get any initiative started is we've got to get a team together. Got to have somebody to push this forward. So let's start the ball rolling then with a few suggestions as the sort of individuals who you might want on the team. What sort of skills are we looking for in this team to bring a message worldwide? Off we go.
A good talker.
A good talker. I like that. Good communication skills. They've got to get the message out there. So we need somebody who's really good at talking in public, I think. Good communicator. Really gets the message across. Excellent. Thank you. What else might we need?
Someone to organise everyone.
Somebody to organise. A good organiser. You need somebody to make sure everybody's in the right places. Sort out various bits and pieces, good logistics, that type of thing. Excellent. What else?
Evangelists and teachers.
Teachers, that's right. Yeah, we need some teachers, some trainers. You know, it may well be as we get our team going, we might want to expand that team. Otherwise, you know, we'll need multiple teams. Otherwise, we won't have a global reach and we're going to have to train them up. So we're definitely going to need teachers and trainers to actually help train people up and make sure that they know what they're doing. Great. Okay.
Encouragers.
Yep. Good. We're going to need some encouragers because probably we might get a little bit disheartened as we try and do this. After all, it's worldwide. All right. So we need some encouragement. Yep. Somebody with a bit of vision. I like that bit of vision, the game plan, a leader. You know, we need somebody that can motivate. The difference, you know, a leader is somebody that can inspire people to do things, whereas a manager is somebody who directs people to do things. So we need somebody with real inspiration to inspire us to go and make things happen. Anything else?
People with language skills.
Oh, I like that, language skills, because we are going global. Remember, we're going global. We need some language skills, so we need people who can speak lots of different languages. Okay, so we need some linguists. Yep. Okay. Yeah, linguists. Yeah. Okay.
Servers
Sorry, say that again, Sarah.
First to be people.
Still didn't get that.
Someone to serve food.
Someone to serve food. Thank you. Sorry, it's the masks. Somebody to serve food. We need caterers, really, don't we? I mean, we're going to get hungry. We're not going to do this in 24 hours. I think we might need to eat. So we need people to prepare lots of food, keep the teams going. Yep.
Somebody to organise transport.
Yeah, transport. Yeah, more of the logistics type stuff. We're going to need to get around. So we've got to get all the... We've got to get food distributed. We've got to get people distributed. There's bound to be some flights we need to catch. And, oh, the nightmare of all the COVID different regulations. Okay, keep going. What else might we need?
Prayer warriors.
Say that again.
Prayer warriors.
Prayer warriors. Let's support it in prayer. That's a good idea. So we need some prayer warriors.
Finance.
Finance. Good. Finance. We either need, I think, somebody... You know, a sort of Bill Gates, somebody's got lots of money to finance it, or we're going to need some fundraisers, okay, to make this happen, because it's going to be expensive. We're going to have to pay for it, so we need some fundraisers. And I guess if we've got finance, what might we need? Some accountants. We need somebody to manage the money. We need somebody who's good at money, can organise it, keep a good set of accounts, keep us on the straight and narrow. Anything else? Medical, yeah, I like that. We might need a doctor or two in there because we might get ill. So we'll need some doctors. So let's get a doctor up there as well. Yeah. How are we doing?
Labourers.
Yeah, because basically there's bound to be lots of stuff. We need real workers, don't we? Labourers. We need people who can perhaps help build things. Okay. Anything else? Andy's got some of these. I think we could do with some of these because, you know, basically we're going to need to get a message out globally. And I know a bit of IT skills might come in handy. We've got to get our social media, our Facebook and our Twitter and, yeah, got to get that going and get a website up. There'll be all sorts of communication and emails and stuff we'll need. So we'll definitely need some IT skills, I think. And anybody think of anything else?
Marketing experts.
Marketing, yeah, good bit of sales and marketing, yep. Help us plan how we're actually going to get our message out there. That'll be good. We're doing well. Anything else? Anybody got any other ideas? We've done really well. It's a pretty good list. Pretty pleased with that. I think I only had about one more on there. I think we might need somebody with some counselling skills because life could get tough. So I thought we might need somebody with good HR and counselling, that type of sort of supportive type roles. But we kind of got there. We got encouragers up there as well. So that's a pretty good list, I think. We've done really well there. So there we are. We've got our perfect team together to get out there now to get a message out to the world. So I just want to cast your mind back to the reading. And Jesus, when he calls his disciples, let's look at the sort of skills that they had. Let's have a look at the first of them. So in Matthew 4:18, Jesus calls two people. He calls Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen, catering. I like that. They could forage for food, got the catering sorted. That's excellent. Next people he calls, yeah, James and his brother John. They were fishermen. They were fishing nearby as well. Probably all part of the same organization, probably a little cooperative who were fishing. Now we've got lots of catering staff. That's four catering staff. Excellent. I've got my four catering staff. I'm not going to go hungry as long as we're near somewhere we can go fishing. Incidentally, by the way, I love in the Bible the way it says basically he was just walking past and he called out to them and they dropped their nets and they followed him. I was reading that and thinking, wow. But actually, if you read a little bit closer, I'm not sure it was quite like that. They were cousins of Jesus, so he might well have known them. Also, I believe that some of them were actually followers of John. So we can read that they were followers of John the Baptist. John had actually introduced them to Jesus, and they'd actually gone and spent the day with Jesus. So if you're worried that actually you might just be going about your everyday business and suddenly again somebody's going to walk past and go, forget that, come and follow me, we're going on a mission. It may happen like that, but I don't think that's quite what it was with the fishermen. So, got four people, they're out fishing, excellent. Who else did he call? Matthew. Or Levi, a tax collector. Well, we said we were going to need somebody who, you know, had a lot of money. You know, well, I was thinking Bill Gates, but tax collector. Now, the thing about tax collectors is they were despised. Maybe this is not so good. They were despised by the Jews. And the reason why they were despised is the way the Romans collected taxes were... they divided it up into regions, and then individuals could bid to manage that region. And what they were bidding for is they would then have to pay the tax that was due for that region up front, and then they could go out and were authorized to then collect the tax, but they're also authorized to collect on top of that a commission to pay for their work. That's how they paid for their salary. But there's nothing laid down here. You could go and collect any amount you wanted. So you just had to cover the amount that you had given. Well, it, just to give that amount actually meant you would have had a lot of money to start with, which probably meant either you were some very rich merchant, but more likely, if you were involved in the money trade in some way, you had been lending to people anyway. There's a lot in the Bible about lending people money not to charge them excessive interest rates. So it clearly was a problem. And so generally speaking, tax collectors were not the most upright of people. So they would extort money from individuals with the backing of the Romans. It was really reinforcing the occupying forces' oppression of the Jewish nation. These were not individuals who were well-liked. Yet Jesus called one of them. How about Judas Iscariot? Now, Judas Iscariot, there are some different views on what Iscariot meant, but essentially, I think it's man of Kerioth. In other words, he wasn't from that area. He was an outsider. And so Jesus now called a lot of people from Galilee and then an outsider. So if you're building a team together, you kind of want people that gel together. Well, we've got four fishermen. They've got a lot in common. Then we've got somebody they despise who, you know, has made his money in ways which nobody's really very happy about. And then he brings in somebody entirely from the outside. And the more we read about Judas, the less actually you're inclined to like the guy. So we read in John 12... that Judas was not a good man to give your money to. He was an embezzler, a thief of dubious character. When we read about the pouring of the perfume on Jesus' feet, it was Judas that said, that perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. The way it's written, I'm not really convinced he was concerned about the poor. I think he was concerned about the money that perfume could have raised, which could have gone into their coffers, that he was managing. And he was managing it because Jesus had put him in charge of the money. Somebody of dubious character, an embezzler. And it's you just kind of think, well, I wouldn't. No, I want an accountant. We said we wanted an accountant, not an embezzler, to look after the money. So what's going on? Well, he then chooses Simon, a zealot. So a zealot is somebody who would have been part of an organized group who were trying to fight the oppression of the Romans. So at best, he was a political activist. He may well have also taken it further and actually been involved in what we would know today as terrorist activities or a freedom fighter, really depends upon your point of view. So imagine you're forming a team and you recruit in somebody who is known to the authorities and to the high priests as a troublemaker, somebody who is politically or physically active. That's not going to go well for your team, because now your team is going to come under suspicion, because maybe actually what's being formed here is a terrorist cell that's actually going to be working actually to overthrow the Romans, which is actually what the Jews were expecting anyway in the Messiah, was somebody who would come and overthrow their oppressors. But certainly even the Jewish authorities would have been had some concern, and it's why I think we read in the Bible about the fact that they were worried about this group. They needed to keep an eye on this group of people. Who were they? And then there was Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. He was certainly slow to grasp the reality of who Jesus was. And we don't know a great deal about the other disciples that he called in terms of their professions or their backgrounds. They possibly were more fishermen. But when you read the Gospels and you get a sense of who these people were, this was a dysfunctional team. They argued about who was the greatest, which they were quite embarrassed about when they were called to it. That's Mark 9, verse 34. Jesus had to rebuke them in Mark 8. He says to them, you don't have in your mind the things of God, but the things of men. So clearly they just hadn't got it. I love the way that they had to have the parables explained to them. I think I probably would have been amongst that. I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Can you explain this? So they struggled, I think, in the same way that we might struggle ourselves. They didn't understand why they couldn't drive out an impure spirit. Jesus had to explain to them, will this type come out by prayer? So this team that Jesus assembled was not our dream team. It doesn't fit in any sense with the type of people that we would have formed, I think, to go on the mission to spread the gospel to the world. And as we look around ourselves today, I think that's quite heartening. We don't have to be superhuman. The great thing is that God has historically called people who were least able and least capable of doing what he wanted them to do. It's not by our strength, but by his power and his spirit that we get the job done. Just want to read something that I know we've shared before, but I really like it and I regularly remind myself of it. Sarah was too old to bear children. Abraham was an old man, but God used them to found the Jewish nation. Jacob lied and was deceitful to inherit his brother's birthright. Joseph was a daydreamer. He was rejected by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was thrown into prison for something he didn't do. And God used him to save Israel. Moses was a murderer, and he was no orator. But God used him to speak to Pharaoh and to liberate Israel from the Egyptians. Gideon was afraid, but he was used by God to defeat the Midianites against overwhelming odds. I think Samson was pretty stupid, certainly given the deceit that Delilah used, but God still used him. Rahab was a prostitute and yet saved the spies. Jeremiah and Timothy thought they were too young. David was a murderer and is described as a man after God's own heart. Elijah contemplated suicide. He asked God to take his life, and yet he's recorded as one of the major prophets. Jonah, he ran from God, and God still used him. Got financial problems? Well, Job went bankrupt, lost everything he had. And yet he's recorded in the Bible, and we learn from his experiences. It was no fault of his own. And Peter denied Christ. And yet, God built his church on the rock that is Peter. The disciples, they fell asleep while Jesus was praying. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene, she was demon-possessed. The Samaritan woman, she was divorced, not just once, but many times, was living with a man who was not her husband. Zacchaeus, he obtained his wealth as a tax collector, and he was small. Paul was a mass murderer, if not directly, indirectly. Timothy, we know Timothy, we think, had some stomach complaint, possibly an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. So whatever your past and whatever your circumstances, whatever you may feel you are able to do or not do, we would do well, I think, to remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So my challenge today is go be fishers of men. Amen.